All right, welcome to episode 16 of the Obesity Panacea podcast. Peter and I are doing this in person, which is exciting.
Because it's very exciting for us.
The past few have all been via Skype. So today we're going to be discussing Peter's recent post on home-based mini exercise. And I've been doing some mini exercises of my own. So I think we're just going to kind of chat about those. So Peter, why don't you start us off?
Sure. So I started the post and started talking about the thing that we always wonder about whenever we have discussions about what impact our blog might be having on people is sort of what information do people use from our blog and how do they change their lifestyle based on what we've posted. And we generally don't really have an answer to that. But the other question that has come up recently is sort of what impact does our blogging have on our lifestyle? So if Travis discovers some new study and he blogs about it, does it have an impact on the way he does things in his life or the way I do things? So recently, Travis did a series on sedentary physiology and discussed a lot of really interesting studies and research, which is sort of the focus of his PhD, which I'm sure you can probably get into more than I can. But it sort of made me realize that I was sort of on my way to becoming a sedentary exerciser. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that the right
terminology?
Yeah,
sir, I think... we have a couple terms to describe them. I think one is the active couch potato, I think would be the way we'd describe it.
Okay,
you're meeting physical activity guidelines, so
right.
you're physically active,
yeah.
But you're also sedentary.
Right. So I think I essentially was turning into that. So when we used to, as you know, when I used to live closer to Queens and used to go to the lab all the time, obviously I would walk to work all the time. Our car was barely used. We'd get groceries.
You could walk everywhere.
Exactly, right. So when we were downtown, it was perfect. And running between the university and hospital, you were constantly used to move around. And in addition to that, I'd then go to the gym for like an hour a day. And since moving out here, as you can see, it's nice and picturesque, and we have lots of snow and pretty water and stuff. But it's not so handy because there's really nothing walking distance to here. So every time I need to go get anything, I have to get in the car and drive there, which
includes
the gym, which is yeah.
For our listeners, just so they know, so Peter moved the other side of Kingston across the. Not very far from Kingston, but far enough that you can't really walk anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a beautiful place right on the water, but it's not downtown.
Yeah, so imagine sort of cottage country, like 5 minutes outside of, like a 5 minute drive outside of a city. That's essentially where I'm currently living. It got to the point where I was driving to the gym, which I've never done before. And Travis's series came out, and I started thinking, I mean, I was aware of this research before, and we certainly discussed this before, but it really hit home that I was essentially becoming a sedentary exerciser, so I would spend most of my day just sitting in front of the computer doing my work, and then I'd drive off to the gym and spend an hour there and then come back and back to the computer. So essentially it was like 23 hours of basically sedentary time,
right.
And then an hour of activity.
Exactly.
So then I realized that I didn't really want to do that because you convinced me that that's not really the way to go, and risk of what every disease and mortality goes up for people like that. Is that?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to affect cancer. Most of the mortality studies, the cancer mortality isn't really affected,
right.
With what I've seen so far. But yeah, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, glucose tolerance, mortality.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah, so I decided that rather than just spending an hour at the gym, I'd try to sort of break up my exercise breaks throughout the day. So essentially and this is completely arbitrary. There's many ways to do this, but I just decided that I'm going to do like three exercises every time I have a break, and I'll go for 30 repetitions per exercise.
And are your breaks regimented, or is it just like you feel like a break, so you do it?
Yeah, like if I'm working and I feel my mind's sort of getting a little mushy and I'm not being very productive, I'm like, okay, I think it's time to get away from it.
So instead of like going and reading a blog or something, or like Googling something.
Exactly, which is what I used to do, right?
Right.
So I'd like, if I'm working on a paper and I'm not really getting the ideas, that I'm getting frustrated, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to check out a blog or read a newspaper or something,
something
sedentary. So now I'm like, okay, rather than sitting here at the computer, I get away from the computer during that break and do something. Now, I just so everyone knows, I don't really have any exercise equipment here, so I didn't show you my water jugs.
I saw them upstairs.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So I have two water jugs that they're like 10 liters, so I filled those up, and I use those for a lot of random things. Sometimes I'll wrap a towel through the little handle because that allows me to do tricep extensions and
right.
Random stuff. So the only thing I have is a medicine ball, which is like 10 pounds, and I have an exercise mat. And then really I just use the furniture that's around the house. So I've come up with like 15 different ways to do push-ups or
right.
Whatever. And there's an interesting spot in this house that allows me to do some pull-ups. But that's pretty much it. So I'll take a break and do three exercises each time. And I'll do 30 repetitions per exercise. And some of these exercises I don't really have names for because I just sort of like something random pops in my head. I'm like, oh, I could do this off the table using the chair slash
right.
Whatever. So I'll do that. And So I've kept track of some of these things. So
we should really do. You should really get Marina to video you doing these. It would be really fun to put a few of these up online.
Yeah,
your exercises.
Partly, I'm slightly embarrassed of some of the weirdness that I do around the house. Like honestly, and I've said this in the comments section. So a lot of people have commented on sort of the weird stuff that they do, and the people that tend to work alone tend to have much more elaborate exercise regimens
than
the people that work around other people. So when my fiance Marina is at home, I tend to sort of calm down the weirdness of my exercise. When she's gone, I'm like doing really weird stuff.
Yeah.
And then when she's in the house, I'll just do like some push-ups and whatever.
I should mention that so Peter and I have very different approaches to our daily exercise, which is not surprising because Peter's much more of a resistance training guy. I'm much more of a cardio guy. So I bought an exercise peddler, it's called, for $30. And it's basically it's meant for rehab for people who are trying to do sort of low intensity exercise for their lower body. And I put it under my desk at work. And so now for most of the day, I'm pedaling while I work at a very low intensity. And so that's been my approach because I work in an office where I have a cubicle. It's very small. So I even this is sort of weird in an office setting, but I definitely don't have room to do bench dips off the side of my desk or something.
Yeah, and so if people have commented, and essentially goes that way that if you're working in an office around other people, you're limited in the things you can do. That's not to say you can't do anything. I mean, you still can go for a walk and cross it. Just go up and down the stairs, right? Like you make it sound like have a meeting on the fourth floor wherever you work, even if you don't. Go up the stairs and use the washroom on the different floor or something, if that's a possibility.
Well, and Angela Trombla, I know, who's a researcher that you know, and obviously is a very big researcher in obesity, he does a lot of meetings that are jogging meetings. And so
that's
doesn't work for everybody, but you can do walk meetings. But he does jogging meetings all the time with his students. I don't know, but I've talked with his students, and they said, oh, yeah, we go for jog meetings all the time.
That's interesting.
You couldn't have a meeting in his office. That it was, okay, we have to have a meeting. Okay, we have to go do something while we're doing it.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so here's a sample. So I was pretty good for like 5 or 6 days. And of course, because I didn't write them all down, I forget some of them. But okay, let's
see. I like some of these names. King chairs.
So king chairs, apparently. So this is a name that actually exists. I don't think I actually made this up. So this is you essentially, I guess there's no video, so no point in demonstrating. But you use a chair or a bench, and essentially you're just sort of balancing on your butt, and you're just pulling your legs towards you. Like this essentially. Right? So you're stabilizing. And you're just sort of crunching, basically, but lifting your knees towards your chest without your back or your feet or anything really touching. Right. So the only point of contact is your butt on the
bench. It looks almost like you're pedaling in the air. It's not...
Yeah, but with sort of both legs coming at the same... I mean, I guess you could do that, too, which works effectively as well. Let's see. One-legged squats on a bench. See, and this is the other thing. Because I have very little resistance, I have to get creative, so I have to sort of break them down. So I'd usually do squats with a bar and weight on it. Now, I don't have that luxury, so... How do I sort of increase the amount of resistance I can get out of just my own body? So one-legged squats are a very easy way to do that. Mm-hmm. And I've actually recently added, I hold on to the jugs as I do one-legged squats.
Oh, that'd be good.
It's surprising how difficult that is. So that I can...
And also because I'm sure the water kind of sloshes around, so it kind of activates some of the stabilizing muscles too.
That instability? Yeah. So even when I do, so I'll do bicep curls with those things, and because they're jugs, it's awkward to get your hand through the actual handle, so I actually just put a towel through, then hold the towel, and then curl the jug by holding the...
Anyways. No, I understand what
you're saying. But because it swings a lot, it makes the exercise that much more difficult. Yeah. So, I mean, I have it's 10 liters, right? So that's 10 kilograms. So it's not a whole lot of resistance.
Right.
But because it's sort of like sloshing back and forth, and I also make it more complicated by walking as I do it.
Oh, okay.
So I do most of my exercises while I'm walking that I can, right? So like the tricep extension behind the head, I'll do while I'm walking. So it's like sloshing around, and I'm sort of like...
When you think about it, this is more like what physical activity has historically been. Like I know in my lab, they've done a number of studies on the Amish and Old Order Mennonites, and they're very incredibly healthy people and incredibly active, but this is the stuff they'd be doing because it's literally like raising barns and plowing fields and stuff, and so it's not like a regimented, you know, so it sort of is more ecologically valid in a way than going to the gym.
And part of me, I mean, I could have, we were at Walmart recently and I went by the sort of the exercise section. They had the dumbbells and they had the kettlebells, and it's like, this would really add to my routine if I could get these. But part of me really likes the challenge of doing these things really awkwardly, like I'm doing. So I like the fact that I basically have no equipment and I'm trying to do it. So my goal was to do this for a month. So I think I'm on like day, I think it might be like 18 or 20 now. I told myself I'd do it for 30 days straight. So far I haven't broken that promise, and it's going fairly well. And every once in a while I'll switch it up. So today, while you guys were skiing and we missed the yoga session, I decided I'm going to do 50 reps of exercise today, which surprisingly... makes it so much more difficult. When your body gets used to 30 repetitions, right. like within a week, you're like, okay, 30 repetitions right. feels normal. You add like
you're
an extra
to plateau
five.
Now,
exactly.
Yeah.
You add like five or just switch something. Like you change the pace. So if I'm doing lunges, you hold it for like an extra second
right.
per lunge and it makes it that much more difficult.
It's like P90X, muscle confusion.
Muscle confusion. That's exactly right, my friend.
A very accepted physiological term, of course, yeah. muscle confusion.
So you see things like push-ups off kitchen table. Is a good one. Yes.
Ab twisties.
Yeah. So these are very similar to the previous abs. But you stabilize like this, right? So you basically, again, balancing just on your bum. And I take a medicine ball or can or whatever,
time,
just
yeah.
sort of twist
yeah.
it around, from go from side to side. The names are really creative. Then it gets really awkward, but I don't have a specific name. So it's okay. See, walking tricep extensions with toweled water jug. Like what in the world is that? But yeah, so there's that.
These do sound funny, like single arm jug lifts. Like these sound like something you'd see at like a
jug lifts. Like that's a good one. Yeah.
It sounds like the competitions when you see, you know, on Saturdays sometimes on sports networks they have like lumberjack competitions.
Oh yeah,
these are what or like the world's strongest man, like
yeah.
you know, 50-yard rock carry. Like
except for I carry 10 liters of water, they yeah. carry like hundreds of pounds of rock and stuff.
Med ball swing through legs. Was this with Marino? Was this like when you do like a over under
no,
as a team?
This is literally it's like.
Like stand and just swing. As if you're about to throw it.
Yeah, so with the medicine balls, I mean, I use the medicine ball for no other reason other than it's sort of convenient, but I mean, the water jug's the same thing, except for it's more resistance, mm-hmm. and it's kind of awkward to hold,
right.
it slips out of my hand and stuff. As soon as you get a medicine ball, you can get online, there's a bunch of exercises listed,
yeah.
so I found them through random websites. So, I mean, essentially, as long as you have something that will give you some resistance. I mean, for some people, it might be just a 1 liter bottle of water that might be enough for them when you're starting out. Obviously, your body weight for a lot of exercises is good enough. I mean, crunches, you can do lunges, you can do squats, you can do push-ups. Pretty much everything you can think of, you can do with just your body weight.
And if your body weight's too much, you can do things against the wall. Like
exactly.
Push up against the wall. Because in your post, you also mentioned that you feel better at the end of the day. And I find
exactly,
this, too,
yeah.
that I feel more like exercising because I've kind of been active and I feel kind of a little bit tired, but not really tired,
yeah.
but like... Like, I feel good. I feel like I want to go for a run, as opposed to, like, going home and just being like, oh, I feel like crap. I just want to, like, lay down.
Yeah, I feel like I can maintain my energy throughout the day much better than I was doing it previously. So having those sort of – every time I start sort of falling off in the productivity, I do the little extras and I come back and I'm alert, ready to go again. So it's been good that way. And I can get through the entire day with – I mean, usually mornings were pretty rough for me. Starting in the morning, it took me, like, half an hour just to kind of get going as I woke up. So usually after I take a shower and have breakfast, I'll just do something fairly simple, but just sort of get myself awake. And then I'll do something again before lunch, and then probably 2 in the afternoon.
I was going to say, because 2, when we worked in the same office, like 2 o'clock, I'd look over and you're like,
I was crashing hard. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and so now have you, is that better?
Yeah, exactly. So the afternoons are not a problem at all, and I'll usually work till 4:35 or whatever. And then I'll do another one. So I'll do 2 in the afternoon, 2 in the morning, and then usually 1 sort of before or after dinner, depending. Sometimes actually... we'll be cooking dinner. If someone's on the stove, I'll just like randomly start doing exercises like the food's cooking or whatever.
Well, like, while I wait for the bus now, I started doing calf raises on the curb.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I've got nothing to do. Might as well do some calf raises.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's been working fairly well. And I got to be honest, I haven't, like, if I was smart about this, I probably would have kept track of like my weight. Actually, I have sort of kept track of my weight. It's basically the exact same. My weight doesn't really fluctuate very much. But I probably should have taken like circumferences and stuff, but I didn't go that far.
And I don't think it's going to change much. This is... Like, if you really want to get cut or something, this is not the training program you would do, but this is sort of to maintain
I'm certainly not getting any bigger or smaller.
Right.
So whatever I was doing at the gym, I don't feel like I've lost a whole lot. I'm very curious what it's going to be like if I go back to the gym and try one of my old workouts. Because it's now been about a month since I've gone to the gym.
Yeah, I'd be curious.
So I wonder what that would be like. Now, the problem with... the one thing I need to add more of is the aerobic type stuff. I don't do enough of that. So I do have a skipping rope, which I didn't actually include in the post. And so every once in a while I do skipping, but it's inside the house to skip. It's awkward, and it is winter in Canada, so there's
now you can
3 feet of snow.
You can pretty easily get like a step, I'm thinking. You know, like because I remember doing like circuits in undergrad and doing, you know, like 30 seconds running up and down off the box or something.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
To get the heart rate up, then do something else, and then
every
once in a while just to get that little
stimulus.
Yeah, I mean,
even those stairs
are
there. Just run up and down the stairs. Yeah, I could definitely do that. Yeah, so I need to add that in because
or a peddler machine
or a peddler, exactly. So again, as you've already mentioned, you tend to gravitate towards sort of the aerobic activity. I tend to gravitate towards the resistance. And now you're now recently starting to dabble in resistance, right?
Just because I haven't done it in so long, I kind of
thought
I'd like to change.
Yeah,
but It's, I mean, obviously, I'm not really the phenotype for resistance training.
Except for
right
gigantic
now.
Calves.
Yeah, yeah, gigantic calves and fairly large quads. Yeah. But yeah, it's not what I naturally gravitate to. I gravitate towards like running for 2 hours and taking walk breaks and enjoying the scenery. Is sort of, if I could do a perfect workout, that's what I gravitate to. But I think it's good because, I mean, obviously what you're doing works really well for people who work at home.
Yeah, exactly.
But I picture like people like our parents or a lot of people don't work at home. So I think it's the like exercise balls seem to have kind of gained mainstream acceptance. And I know in our lab, it's funny because I bought a Thighmaster for $12 at a bargain store. And so I started using that at my desk, and it's the same thing. Like while I'm typing, I just use the Thighmaster, and I feel stupid doing it. But at the same time, I'm activating a whole lot of muscles in my legs. And
I don't think I've actually ever used a Thighmaster.
At the end of the day, you can feel your adductors. You can feel it.
Yeah, I would imagine the next day you must be really sore because the muscles that you don't regularly train as a guy, especially. Yeah, I know a lot of women sort of use that machine.
It's not super sore because it's the resistance isn't that high. Yeah. But I remember like in undergrad once. We went to a bar that had a mechanical bull and you could ride it for $5. Yeah. And I remember like doing hill workouts the next day and my adductors were so sore.
Right.
And it reminds me of that. It's not like that, the soreness, but I can feel those same muscles that I normally would never really use. But so I still use that a bit. And also the Thighmaster can double as a grip strength.
Well, that's true.
So when I'm chatting with someone, I can use that for that. And then the peddler works well. So I've got to be careful. I think I'm slowly driving my lab mate Richard crazy, banging my knees on my desk. Yeah. But I'm trying to minimize that. But it works fairly well.
So, like, are you on that thing all day long? Like, do you pedal?
No, I take breaks. So, like, and it's not ideal for typing, or if I'm reading a paper and making notes, it's good for reading. But when I want to like jot something down, it's kind
of
awkward
because you're sort of moving and it's hard to sort of keep still or whatever.
And so I had to get rid of my rolly chair because my rolly chair I'd like push in the pedals and slide back. So I have like a regular chair like you'd see in like a high school, a plain chair. And the pedaler fits right between the legs. And so I pedal and I'm kind of leaning back so that my knees don't bang my desk. So the ergonomics is not perfect.
Yeah.
So I do it for like 15 minutes at a time, stop 15 minutes. But also the nice thing is because I'm leaning back, I'm activating my core. And so like I was saying, my core muscles, because it's like laying on my back and pedaling in the air almost. So, and I've heard this with people doing like sitting on an exercise ball at work, that you have to kind of ease into it because if you do jump in, you're going to be dead. And I found this week, like my back and neck sometimes at the end of the day were a little bit stiff just from doing it all day.
Now with the exercise ball, I also heard, I spoke with, Ian and Ryan, both guys like graduate degrees in biomechanics. And apparently, sitting on medicine balls for an extended period of time is apparently not so good for you.
Right.
So you tire some of the stability muscles and you tend to people after a while can actually become more sort of prone to having injuries and stuff. So I think it's probably one of those things, especially when you're starting out and you already have back issues.
I know for sure. I think it's one of those things to do with sort of, you know, common sense.
Yeah.
And I've heard people that use standing workstations that it's good to have a stool so that you can lean your feet on it, sit for a bit, stand for a bit. Because
standing in one spot, it's never comfortable.
No. Yeah. Well, and I mean, and my fiance Dawn, she's a teacher, right? And so for her, she's like, well, I stand all day. My back's sore at the end of the day. Like, you know, there are nurses, people like that who stand probably too much. So it's not like always being moving, but not always being sitting.
Yeah. And I remember, I think someone posted, now we've had a lot of, if you haven't checked out the post, you should.
Yeah, this is the most comments I think we've ever had.
Yeah,
we're getting up there.
A lot of comments. So a lot of people are telling us things that they've been doing.
Yeah, it's been really cool.
And so people are talking about wearing a pedometer, so very simple changes. And you and I did the whole pedometer thing for a while.
No, pedometers are great.
Yeah, so a lot of people are doing a lot of random small things. Let's see,
it tends to be a lot of people who are either researchers or writers or people who can work from home or have offices where they have a bit of flexibility.
Yeah.
Which is obviously not surprising.
But apparently, sorry, there was one comment I'm looking for that was really interesting because it was a woman who mentioned she does things, I think, in her chair just at the office. Here we go. Bunch of belly dance moves you can work into your day. From belly rolls, chest lifts and slides, or snake arms. I mean, while you're seated, right? So these are, you could do these at your desk. So as nutty as you look with your peddler, you could add a little bit of snake arms to it.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think people think you're any more crazy than you were previously. So that's fine. So I think if you're okay with, you know, a little bit of ridicule, then I think you can do quite a bit at the office.
But it really is a social thing, like, because
as long as you make, if once you make that the norm, then everyone just understands, like, okay, you just got
to
move a little
bit. Yeah, and Mark Hamilton, a sedentary physiologist, came to speak at our lab earlier this year, And so instead of having a bunch of chairs out, we had 15 chairs out for, you know, 40
people.
That's
perfect.
And it was interesting just to see the different dynamics. But his argument was that, you know, back in 30, 40 years ago, everyone had spittoons for chewing tobacco. Yeah, they had ashtrays. And right now we have chairs everywhere. And it's just the way we've built our offices and our homes. So just engineer those chairs out, and suddenly you sit less, and people are healthier.
Sorry, you were at this meeting where there was not enough chairs, or did he just
he came to speak to our lab, so it was my idea.
That's really cool.
Should we get rid of the chairs? And he thought it would be fun.
How did people react? Did everyone like battling for the chairs?
No. It was mixed, and actually it was interesting because he mentioned how like at most meetings, if you stand, it's like it's awkward. It's seen as being rude if you're standing at the back and moving around.
At conferences, I always felt that way.
Yeah.
And sometimes we would come in late or whatever, you sort of lean on the wall and stuff.
But usually it's sort of, you know, people don't like it. And the funny thing was that one woman spoke up and she was sitting because she was eating. And this is the awkward thing, is that it was a lunch meeting or a lunch, like a journal club type thing. And she pointed out that actually when there were so few chairs and people had to stand, she actually felt the opposite. She felt being impolite by sitting. Because obviously sitting or standing, like some people need to sit or can't stand as long, or it's not as good for whatever reason. So it's not about having no sitting, but his big thing is that make it the option. So it's not the default. Yeah, you have to sit. It's that you can sit if you want, you can stand if you want. And he's done some really cool things. I mean, he was sort of the one that got me into doing stuff at my desk, because he's very big on, you know, using a treadmill workstation or even just doing isometric exercises. You know, if you're stuck at the airport, just, you know, you can grip your hands together, pull them. You can do stuff for your back. You can do calf raises. You can do isometric, like lunging against a wall. Yeah. You can do for your biceps with
just hold doorknobs. A chair or anything.
You have a chair with a strong doorknob, and so. Again, people might look at you a bit strangely at times.
I think is probably the biggest hurdle right now. Like when I think of these things, if I was to now go and work in an office, I think it'd be challenging for me to adopt these weird exercises.
I mean, at least for us, we're physiologists,
so we have an excuse, right?
People know me, and they'll kind of make jokes. Like when I was in I had an ethics meeting this week for proposing a project, and afterwards they're like, "Oh, I guess we should all probably stand up." You know, sitting's bad, and so like people. At least know me as the guy that knows sitting is bad, so they accept it from me. I can see it would be more difficult, you know, if my dad in his office wanted to do it.
Yeah.
I can see it being more difficult.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if anyone else said anything cool.
And I mean, Amy Burfa did leave one nice comment there at the end where he said, you know, a lot of what he does is just sort of stuff that we've advocated before of walking around the building, taking the stairs, and even, like you were saying in your post, that you drink more water now, which makes you go to the bathroom more.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, like, I know some days, like, when I was working on my comps, I'd sit for 4 hours just, like, in the zone typing.
Easily,
Whereas you drink water, and it makes you, like, oh, I have to go to the washroom.
Yeah, so
and it forces you to break it up.
That activity. And, maybe we should just read Amy's
comment. Go ahead.
So, Amy Burfoot says, Peter, fun post. Creativity is great, especially for those who are young and working at home. So that obviously defines me. For those of us in the office and older, it's less about creativity, more about ease, consistency, and most bang for least hassle. As you suggest, I simply get out of my office and walk around the perimeter of the building much more than I used to. Also going up and down several flights of stairs in our three-story office building, which is exactly what we discussed. Right? You don't necessarily have to be doing lunges and push-ups and looking a little crazy in the office. Just say, oh, I need to go and walk around the building.
When you have to go to the washroom, like, I rarely use the washroom. There's a washroom 6 feet from my office. But instead, I use the one in the building next door that I walk over through the pedway. And so it's still like a 3-minute trip.
Right.
But it gives me, you know, throughout the day, that can add up to like a couple thousand extra steps.
Yep. And really anything helps. So he continues to say, when standing at my reading desk, I often stand on just one foot. Notice standing at my reading desk. So he stands at his reading desk. And so he stands on one foot and then the other. I keep hoping someone will develop a stationary bicycle desk, which I think I should
email him, because there are a few. You can either get attachments that you can place on your bike, or you can buy specific bikes. I haven't used any of them, so I don't know how good they are, but I know lots of people that read on while they're using their wind trainers.
Right.
And we've even in the past linked to or described our friend Katya's way of
the ironing board on top of the bike handle.
The budget
one,
yeah.
And J.D. Hughes also, I think, so I get the impression that he left. I think he's a professor somewhere. So he says, what a great concept, one I used to utilize with my clients back in my personal training days, and one I still utilize on my unsuspecting students during lectures. which I think is a pretty cool idea, yeah. Right? So maybe when you're lecturing, you're already walking around, but why not just throw in some lunges?
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you're talking about the topic of, you know, sedentary activity, yeah. You might as well throw that in and get your class to sort of stand up every half an hour and do something.
What I'm really interested for elementary schools, I read an article yesterday that I've got a blog about and actually emailed the researcher that they were describing, that he's working on standing desks for elementary schools.
Very cool.
And the teachers were all for it, which surprised me, because a lot of the time when you talk to teachers, I mean, getting kids to sit quietly is a big part of classroom management. Yeah. And so a lot of the worries that if kids are standing, classroom management is going to be much harder.
Right, and disruptive
and
whatever.
Yeah, and so I'm really curious to talk to that researcher to see how the teachers got on board and sort of just what their experience was. Right. I find that really cool.
And I know in Kingston, this is now 4 or 5 years ago when I first started my grad stuff here, there was a teacher in the Kingston Public School Board who was actually trying to utilize the exercise balls in her class.
Really?
But I guess that gets a little tricky because now you have a projectile. So it's not just the children are standing, but they now they can bounce. There's a lot of noise and they can throw it. So I don't know what the evidence behind that is and how effective that can be. But
And even when I talk to people about the medicine ball, I know there's some skepticism, not only about whether or not it's good for you to be on it all day, but also because I've talked to people and they say that really you don't have to use a whole lot of muscles. Once you get good at it, you can sit and not really be activating much muscle. And so I don't know that anyone's ever done a study on it. I would love to do in a couple of years a little pilot study of just sitting for 4 hours straight versus sitting for 4 hours using a peddler at the desk.
Right.
Or because I know
no, didn't.
Jim Levine's done like calories on a stand on a like a treadmill
ball,
desk.
But wasn't there?
Oh yeah,
didn't Alex send us something?
Yeah,
from Globe Mail.
Yeah, Alex did, but it was an ergonomics one. I think you blogged about it maybe, but it was. I don't know that they actually did stuff. I think it was like sort of theoretically, like on an exercise ball, you'd burn extra like 2 calories an hour.
Okay, that's what it was.
It wasn't a tremendous difference, and for a lot of the sedentary physiology stuff. It's not the calories that matters, exactly. It's the muscle activation.
Yeah.
And there's some cool stuff, like there's some animal studies where you just denervate a muscle, so you just slice the nerve.
Yeah.
And even that, because then you have no motor activity, and that's enough to result in metabolic adaptations that are bad, and then you just stimulate it electronically, and they're reversed. So it's really not the calories.
Very cool.
Now I hear our fiancé is moving around upstairs, and this podcast has already gone a bit longer than we planned. We should probably wrap it up. Is there anything else you wanted to mention before we...
No, I think we've pretty much covered everything. So for people that are hearing this for the first time, I think the first step would be to read your series on sedentary physiology.
Yes.
So that was just recently on Obesity Panacea blog.
And I also just put up a post on Scientific American this week that was sort of a summary. So if you Google sedentary physiology, Travis Saunders, or even just sedentary physiology, we'll probably come up pretty high. But if you put my name in there, you'll definitely find it.
Yeah. And maybe we can add a link to the podcast.
Yeah, we can put it in the podcast in the show notes. And definitely check out Peter's posts on the stuff he does at home if you're looking for something.
And check out the comments because there are a lot of interesting things that other people are doing.
Yes, good ideas. Yeah. And obviously, as with all exercise-related advice, you know, check with your physician if you're concerned beforehand. But
before you start hoisting water jugs,
careful, especially with your lower back. If you're not used, maybe don't start with 20-kilogram lat pulls overhead while walking.
Yeah.
But all right, well, this was fun. I hope we do another one in person again, Peter.
And, yeah, that's good.
And we'd love to hear anyone else's ideas, so please come to the blog at blogs.plos.org/obesitypanacea, the easiest URL to remember in the known world.
Yeah.
Or just Google Obesity Panacea Plos and you'll find us. And we'd love to hear what everybody thinks about this. So have a great day, and we'll be back soon.